Session number 7038, Reel 3.
General Fox Pitt, Reel 3. What means of communication did you have back to London and forward from brigade headquarters to your battalions?
The only means of communication I had was after General Brownrigg left was through a destroyer, if there happened to be one, in the port. I could then communicate with Dover and got all my information back that way to London, and I received all the messages I got straight from London through them. Within the brigade, I had no means of communication except by liaison officers on motor bicycles, which were absolutely valuable, and they worked terribly hard. And they kept the whole thing going, and I managed to give all my orders, which were all received and obeyed, entirely through liaison officer.
So you had no radio or field telephone?
No, none at all.
Now, why was that? Because one would imagine you might...
Well, I had field telephone, but that didn't last very long, because, and so did the battalions, they had their field telephones. But those things get very easily broken up and overrun, and they rarely were. The only reliable communication was with a man on a motor bicycle.
Who were these two liaison officers?
In the Irish Guards, there was a man called Captain Reynolds, and in the Welsh Guards, there was a man called Lieutenant Leatham. And they were my two liaison officers. And they were survived the whole battle, luckily.
Did you manage to get any sleep or rest while you were waiting for the enemy?
You mean personally?
Yes.
I think I got about a couple of hours sleep at the beginning of the first night. Otherwise, I didn't get any more sleep.
I was asking you earlier about food, and there seems to be plenty of that. What about the availability of water?
Water. Well, there seemed to be no shortage of water. I'm afraid the whole operation was such a short duration that they managed to get water on the spot, everybody, of some sort. And far as I know, it was not contaminated. But just use the local supplies in the town.
I think you said that on the next morning after the day you'd arrived, there was a stand two before dawn. What did what happened at stand two?
Well, all I said was that, I mean, there's a sort of law about stand two. All work stops and all the men... on the alert with their weapons, they're all awake. And I said that would take place at an hour before dawn. And during that period, I went round the front and I saw them all before any German attack developed. Although in the case of the Irish Guards, in the night, one or two tanks had approached and been shot at and they disappeared. But they hadn't made any determined attack. In the case of the Welsh Guards, the main attack on their front didn't take place till later in the morning.
What was your...
But when I went to the left of the Welsh Guards, I went up into a house and looked out in the direction of Calais, and there I saw quite a lot of tanks. It was difficult to tell with field glasses what tanks they were, because I had expected a tank battalion to arrive from Calais. So I sent an officer out with a patrol to find out what they were, and he very soon came back and told me that they were German tanks. And now, in that case, they were all about 400 or 500 yards to the left of the Welsh Guards, sitting down, sort of having their breakfast and that sort of thing. And on that, when I got back to my headquarters, I decided to withdraw the front closer into Boulogne.
So this meant abandoning the positions that had been dug.
Yeah. But of course, by the time I did that, the Welsh Guards and the Irish Guards had both been attacked in the original positions.
Where was your brigade headquarters located?
We were in a house quite near the Citadel in Boulogne, and for a moment I can't remember the name of the house, but it was a sort of big, big house. Incidentally, got hit by a shell at some stage, and my only casualty was my brigade signal officer, who got wounded and was sent back to England.
Did you have your operations room in the cellar of the house, or was it on the...
No, they weren't, no. There weren't any cellars, as well, I remember. Our operations were in the sort of sitting room downstairs. One half second old.
How did the enemy first make contact with your force?
Well, generally speaking, during the night, tanks, small tanks, began to appear on the front of the Irish Guards, and they were engaged by the Irish Guards. And in one case, an Irish Guardsman knocked out a small tank with an anti-tank rifle. But they didn't make a very, very determined push. And by the time they were ordered to withdraw in the morning, they were still in their original position, and no further attack had developed.
So the enemy had evidently decided the Irish Guards were too strongly posted.
Yeah.
And what happened next?
Well, then on the Welsh Guards front, there was quite a determined attack in which they lost one or two officers and all their anti-tank guns. Must have been about 5 o'clock in the morning, I should think, just after I'd been round the front and seen the German tanks on our left, and just before I'd given orders that there should be a withdrawal. But it didn't affect the final withdrawal of that battalion. They held the position they were in and didn't withdraw from it, from that attack. The Germans were, generally speaking, sort of probing to see how much there was defence on Boulogne, and never, I think, made a determined attack to try and go right into the town. Not till after we'd evacuated.
When they did attack the Welsh Guards, what form did their attack take?
Almost entirely small tanks, just sort of cruising up till they were shot at and then shooting back. And they had very powerful anti-tank guns and small arms fire. And they made it, and they had some form of mortar. And they made the Welsh Guards front almost untenable in the middle. But they never pushed that attack home. They just shot them up, and they killed one officer and several other ranks, but not many casualties.
How close to the Welsh Guards positions did they come when they were attacking?
From what I remember, from what I heard, they probably came to within 300 or 400 yards of the Welsh Guards position before they stopped. So the anti-tank gun may have had some slight effect, but I'm afraid the anti-tank crews weren't very... didn't stick to their job very well and disappeared when the rest of the battalion disappeared and left their guns.
And that's how they were lost?
What?
That's how the guns were lost?
Yes.
It sounds as though the Germans didn't have any infantry supporting their tanks.
I don't think so, no. They didn't seem to have.
Did they have any artillery in support?
Yes, there was certainly quite a lot of artillery, and some quite heavy artillery which shelled into Boulogne. But they didn't attack the front line with artillery much. They did it all with their tanks.
Have you any idea how many tanks were involved in probing the Welsh Guard's position?
From what I've been told, I think they all saw about three or four tanks, you know, sort of leading tanks of a squadron or something like that. I don't think on the whole that the Germans were very thick on the ground. I think they were just probing columns of a bigger force. Certainly down south, the Irish Guards never got attacked again. And so they decided then, I think, to concentrate on their right hook on Boulogne, where they hadn't been shot at much.
Did the Welsh Guards manage to knock out any German vehicles?
We don't think so. We don't know.
So when the Welsh Guards withdrew into their new positions, they were not in contact with the enemy?
Not in close contact, no. They withdrew fairly easily without being shot at.
And where were the new positions to which they had to withdraw?
Well, the new position was much closer into Boulogne, and in the final position they were holding houses within 300 or 400 yards of the port.
Now, you say they were holding houses. Had these houses been prepared for defence?
No, not by then. There was some, comes into my report, but I had two lots of orders. There was one order I got from England when there was a destroyer in to say that we were to hold to the last man, a very Winston Churchill order, but to evacuate all non-effective personnel. And then I again gave a pretty poor report of the situation. And then a good deal later on, a destroyer came in again and gave me a message telling me to withdraw altogether and the destroyers would come in and take us out. I then issued a withdrawal order, but that's what come into a bit later in my story, yeah. I think.
When the Welsh Guards got into these houses, what could they do to make them more defensible?
Well, they sandbag defended the windows and that sort of thing, and some up in the top and some down below.
Had they been trained in street fighting or fighting in houses?
Not particularly, I don't think. No.
So they just had to do the best they could and use their
imagination? Yes, yeah.
Was the same true of the Irish Guards? And the...
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, neither of them have been through any particular training in street fighting, I don't think.
What sort of condition were they in when they made their withdrawal into the inner perimeter?
Well, they were in very, very good condition, really. They were a bit tired, but they were perfectly under control. And the Irish Guards, their final withdrawal, they were very, very good the way they stood on the quay, waiting to get off in the destroyers. And the same with the Welsh Guards, but they were being quite heavily bombed or shelled at that time. Our discipline was excellent.
So they were still in good heart when they had to fall back. They didn't find the business of having to fall back demoralising?
No, not really. Although two companies, the Welsh Guards, did go into the... I, having seen them across the quay, went into the... and did lie down and I think went to sleep and then eventually failed to get embarked, which was very sad.
About what time was it that the withdrawal took place into the...
second position. Let me just... Says, I say here that in about 1500 hours that afternoon, there was a distinct lull in the firing, and it seemed possible that the enemy had withdrawn somewhat from their forward positions. Attempts were made to patrol forward, patrols being hindered by sniping from fifth columnists. An officer went forward in a French tank, that was my brigade major, and found that around the old town, the Germans had withdrawn. This withdrawal seemed suspicious in view of the success of the German attack previously. But shortly afterwards, about 40 to 50 enemy aircraft approached with a view to bombing the town and quay.
And this was after you'd pulled back, didn't you? Yeah. You say you sent out patrols. What sort of size would a patrol be if you were trying to maintain...
Well, I think an officer patrol on those occasions is probably an officer... and two or three men, just to support each other. There was nothing, nothing very big.
So it's just a recce or observation patrol.
Yeah.
Mm. But there you were saying that once you had withdrawn into the second position, the Germans evidently decided not to probe you any further with ground forces, but just to bomb you.
Yes.
Yeah. And,
it turned out, you see, they sent a big force in to try and bomb the port, I think, and bomb the destroyers. That's what they were really getting at.
Did you actually see the air raid taking place?
Oh, yes. Actually, I was lying underneath a truck on the line, which had been used as an ambulance train. It was lying there by the, quite close to where the destroyers came in. And I wrote my withdrawal order lying under the truck with my staff captain.
How many German aircraft took part in the raid?
How many what?
German aircraft took part in the raid.
Well, there were quite a lot at the time. I see we say 40 or 50, but I should doubt if there were many as that. Mm.
What sort of aircraft were they?
They kept over, it came over in one wave after another, you know. You're going to ask me what sort they were. I don't remember.
Do you remember if they were dive bombing or if they were just bombing?
They were bombers, I think, and some were dive bombers. They did dive bomb the destroyers and, in fact, killed the captain of the destroyer Destillo, destroyer Vatillo.
Did they score many hits on the destroyers?
Not many, no.
Did they lose many aircraft?
We didn't see any shot down.
Was there an RAF presence over the...
They came in afterwards, yeah.
So they arrived after that raid?
Yes, yeah.
What sort of form did the order to withdraw come in?
Well, I gave the orders to battalions to withdraw to a certain position. And this was before we'd been told to evacuate. And then they withdrew their companies in the new normal way, where it was by thinning out and then withdrawing the whole company. And the Welsh Guards did it very well indeed, and so did the Irish Guards. And they were all in their new positions and completely by, I suppose it was 1500 in the afternoon or something like that.
And what did the enemy do next after you'd got into the new positions?
Well, he then rather stopped coming on. And then I mentioned in my dispatches that there was a sort of a pause in the battle, and we then discovered that he was keeping back out of the town because he wanted to send a force of bombers in to attack the port and attack the ships coming in.
Did the enemy ground forces start pressing in again once the bombers had done their work?
They pressed in to begin with up to the fort on the top of the overlooking the port and got shut up by the destroyers in the open there. They also turned the French guns in the fort onto the destroyers until they were knocked out. The destroyers did a very good job there, shooting these people up over open sites. And then they stopped then, didn't come on anymore on that side. That was on the northern flank.
So the destroyers' shore bombardment really kept them off?
Yes. They were the only form of heavy gun we had, was the guns in the destroyers.
Did you have any direct contact with the destroyers when they were doing this?
Well, I was, yes, I was going. The only way I could communicate, as I told you, with England was to go on board the destroyer and send a message. And I was, at that time, right down on the quay with the destroyers before I went back to see the general evacuation.
So it was direct personal communication?
Yes.
So there wasn't a system by which a company, commander, for instance, could put in a bid for naval support?
No, no.
What sort of casualties had you had by this time?
I've no idea, really. Welsh Guards had more casualties than the Irish Guards. And they had one officer I know was killed, another officer was badly wounded and evacuated to the local casualty care station and afterwards taken prisoner. And one or two men, same thing happened to them, they were wounded. But we managed to get quite a lot of the wounded onto destroyers and back to England. And as far as possible, we tried to do that.
What sort of spirit did the wounded show when they were being...
Oh, they were all right. You know, they were quite keen to get on a ship and go home, I think. But the morale on the whole was really very high. Nobody was at all panicky. Except a few of the... I don't know. In case of the Welsh Guards, it was mostly small arms fire from the tanks and shell fire from the tanks. Mm.
So the bombing didn't have very much impact.
No, not so much.
Mm. When was it that you were finally ordered to evacuate the whole port?
What time?
Yes.
I think it was about... Hold on a minute. Have you got me switched on?
Mm-hmm.
An order received that evacuation would take place and the destroyer would be sent in to take off the troops engaged in Boulogne.
Did the order say why you were going to be evacuated?
They decided they would allow us to evacuate.
Because they'd previously
told us to stand and fight, and then they decided it was no good holding on, and so allowed us to go.
So this order came at 1800, and how long did you think it would take to actually draw your force into
embark? It was all dependent on destroyers. They said destroyers would come in and take us off, and I more or less said that we would withdraw as soon as possible and go right down to the destroyers and get on board when they could. The Welsh Guards on one side of the quay and the Irish Guards on the other, you see. And as the destroyers came in, the troops just got on board, and when they were full up, they went out again.
Did this work smoothly?
It worked extremely smoothly. I saw all the troops across the bridge, over the river, and I had a demolition party standing there with me who was going to blow the bridge up when all the troops were over. And so I saw all the battalion's troops evacuated at that time.
How many soldiers could you get on a destroyer?
Well, they were terribly overcrowded, but I think the Welsh Guards got their whole battalion onto two destroyers, which was had been a fairly strong battalion, but eventually, by the time they embarked, they were minus two companies. And the Irish Guards got onto two destroyers as well.
What were the enemy doing while you were withdrawing?
Well, they were doing nothing, luckily.
So you weren't under fire?
And they never really came down to the quay at Boulogne until the next day. Because we sent back another destroyer to try and pick up. So when I got back to England, we sent back other destroyers to try and see if they could pick up anybody else. And the Germans hadn't got into the town then.
What happened to the two companies of Welsh Guards that you mentioned?
Well, that was they passed me on the quay, on the bridge, and I told them to go right down to the bottom and get onto the destroyers. But somehow or other, they heard a rumour. They lay down, I think, in the sheds on the quay, with a mass of sheds, and they got a rumour that there were no more destroyers coming in. And one of the company commanders decided that they would try and get out to the south of Boulogne. And, of course, the rumour was wrong, and they ought to have done what they were told. But the commanding officer, who by then was right down in front of the quay, was sent back to try and find them and never got touch with them. And so they marched out into the town, and they were eventually mopped up. But two officers and about 20 or 30 of them got back again to the quay and got off that night.
Have you any idea how that rumour started?
None at all.
Started?
I don't know. I know nobody's ever told me. But there were an awful lot of people about who trying to get on the ships and that sort of thing. And, you know, they thought first fewer chaps who got off, there'd be more room for them. It may have been that. I can't think it was Fifth Column or anything like that. It was just one of these rumours that go about in war. It was by then quite dark. You see, it was after 10 o'clock at night.
So it would have been easy to get lost.
Yes.
How long do you think it took to actually get the men out of their positions and into the destroyers and away?
Well, they started withdrawing, I suppose, about 6 o'clock in the evening or before, but I think I saw them all over the bridge just as it was getting dark. And by the time I went down through the sheds to the destroyers myself, it was quite dark. I couldn't see people in the sheds, or I would have picked...